Why don't you take a deep breath? Gloria, Hosanna in excelsis. Time that badly and you'd be stuck on glory for about 5 minutes, won't you? Till you pass out. And we sing it every year. We sing it every year, sort of at Christmas time at some point. But what does it mean? Well, you don't have to stretch it out quite so much, but you can just say Gloria. And it means the same thing as glory. Praise God in the highest. And we give glory to God because God is a glorious God. Psalm 19 reminds us of that. Lydia was reading it to us before. That every day we're surrounded by God's glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The beautiful blue skies, the sun, the moon, the stars. I know it was a bit grey yesterday. Yet the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. So it goes on. The wonderful creative glory of God that we can sort of look at and see. God's glory is, well, it's glorious. We see it in his creation, but we see it most perfectly. We see it most wonderfully in Jesus. And part of that glory is precisely the humble birth of Jesus at Bethlehem. Now, I'll be honest, at first glance, the nativity doesn't really paint an amazing picture of glory. If it does, it's probably being done wrong. But you know, the angels in our nativity, they were kind of right, weren't they? You know what? Shepherds? The whole thing! You know, during the nativity, we see a poor couple, probably a sort of bit embarrassed, struggling to cope with a long journey under difficult circumstances, as she expects her first child imminently. We see an overcrowded town. We see a need to accept second best accommodation, a birth away from home and family and support. We see a newborn baby wrapped up in nothing more than the usual swaddling bands of a poor baby of the day, and then laid in a makeshift crib, an animal feeding trough. And the first well-wishers, well, you know, yeah, the angels were right. As I say, society's outcasts, smelly, irreligious, they were seen as shepherds. Followed quite some time later by suspicious and mysterious foreigners. Doesn't look very glorious at all, does it? In fact, it's easy for the angels to sometimes steal the glory in a nativity, if I can say it, in a nativity play. We didn't have them today, did we? They were sort of like military angels, soldier angels. But, you know, sometimes the most glorious thing in a nativity play is these beautiful sort of white-robed sort of characters with the, you know, halos the size of dinner plates, you know, and amazing. And they've got all the glory. Here they come, full of glitter and sparkle, beating wings, blowing trumpets. But hang on a minute. Let's just remind ourselves of what the angel said. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. The glory is not theirs. The glory is God's. So John, as he begins his gospel, his account of the good news of Jesus, writes that this baby, this poor newborn child, is God, glorious God. Verses 1 to 5 of chapter 1 give the context, and then boom, John hits us with the stunning reality. In the beginning was the Word, that's what he calls Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. All the things that we were hearing declared the glory of God. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. God became human. He became exactly like you and me. A real person, and yet still God. So not sinful. And then he came and he lived amongst us. And John says that when he and his friends spent time with Jesus, the glory of God was crystal clear in him. How so? John says it was that he was full of grace and truth. It wasn't that Jesus was wearing sort of royal robes or living in a palace or spoke nicely or that Jesus glowed or shone or floated or anything like that. It was a supernatural glory that the eyes of faith can see. I mean, still today, many people will watch a nativity and they'll see nothing more than a poor baby that grew up to be a good man or a great teacher or an executed idealist. But when God's Holy Spirit opens our eyes, then Jesus becomes so much more than that. He becomes glorious. Paul is right in the New Testament in the second letter to the Corinthians when he writes in chapter 4 verse 6 that when we look at Jesus, we see the glory of God because God enables us to. He says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." There's nothing sort of outwardly glorious about Jesus. It's only when God himself opens up our eyes that we see it. And then, like John, we find ourselves saying, "I've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And it's that grace and that truth that's absolutely key for us. That's how he engages with people, relates to people, rescues people. God is our holy and our righteous God. He's the God who judges and who condemns sin. He could have descended to earth to terrify us. We're sinners. We could have been terrified by Jesus and by him descending to earth in a spectacle of shock and awe. And yet look how he actually comes. With grace. A baby in a manger. In a backwater town. In a poor country. And look how he dealt with our sin. He, God the Son, submitted to his Father. Allowed himself to take our punishment. Died our death. Paid our price. Truth meant that sin had to be paid for. Justice had to be done. But grace meant that Jesus did it all in our place. And then he rose again. In what? In glory. What is more glorious than an almighty God? An almighty God who loves humanity, sinful humanity, and rescues us at his own expense. I guess creation out there might daily declare the glory of God, but we often miss what it's saying, don't we? We kind of rush around. Heads down, focused on the next thing. In fact, not even heads down these days. Heads on these things. Missing the glory of creation. Instead, the pseudo-glory of the internet is all that absorbs us. We miss it. We don't see God's glory shining all around us. And so, we need to just pause. And although it might take a great big breath to sing "Glory, Hosanna in Excelsis," it's great to do it at Christmas. Because then we remember that in that manger, and as he grew, and as he lived, and as he died, and as he rose again, Jesus came at Christmas to reveal to us the glory of God. Amen.